I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm terrific. So you're not suffering from the Sunday night flu or Sunday evening flu?
No. Luckily, it's Tuesday, so I can't be.
Luckily, it's Tuesday. That's true. But I thought I would try to throw that in there. So the title of this week's post is The Sunday Evening Flu.
In my house, we call it the Sunday Scaries.
Hmm. Okay, explain.
It's like that feeling that kind of creeps up on you on Sunday. It doesn't even have to be evening. It can be any time on Sunday. That sometimes it can really steal your joy out of your weekend if you let it. But I had a good friend once tell me to don't let your Monday ruin your Sunday.
Right.
So
exactly.
We've been able to combat it that way.
Sure. And, you know, the way I put it was when you start thinking about Monday morning, do you get nauseous and stressed out? You know, and I've lived this. I've seen other people live this. I'm thinking of one person that, you know, I can tell Sunday afternoons, he just, his stomach just starts to tighten up.
Yeah.
And he's dreading Monday. And so the question then is, does our job seem like drudgery? Does it seem like it's one of those dreams where you're running, but you can't ever get ahead? Like you're being chased by something, but no matter how hard you run, you can't get ahead. But what if we could flip it upside down? What if I told you that there was a way that even after a long, hard day, you'd go home feeling energized? I mean, what if I would say you could be doing something that was so exciting for you that time would just fly by while you're doing it. And all of a sudden you look and say, oh my goodness, oh nuts, I have to leave. I have to go home. I can't wait for the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't you just want a job like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone would.
Yeah. And you know what? Everybody can have a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're thinking, okay, Dave, what are you drinking? And the reality is that I am drinking a bottle of Perrier with nothing in it because my voice is going to come and go. But really you can. And so I started thinking about this after Live to Lead, where Marcus Buckingham talked about strengths. And he was one of the co-authors of Strength Finders, which I've heard about for years. Mm-hmm. And I actually, as I mentioned to you before we started recording, I actually took the Strength Finders assessment last night. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that we as bosses and as parents focus on the negative instead of the positive. And let me explain that. So Marcus gave the example. He said, if your kid comes home with 2 A's, 1 B, 1 C, and 1 F, he said repeatedly over 70%, I think he said 73% of all parents focus on the F. And that's what I always did. Because we think, oh, we have to fix the F. No, let's find out why our child got an A in two classes. What did they get a B in? You know, how did they get the C? Because we do the same thing at work. We look for the negatives and we try to correct them. When really we should be trying to help someone find their strengths. Because when you are working in your strength zone, your work is not drudgery. It's exciting. You have a passion about it. You get so excited about being able to work in it that even though it's exhausting, you go home energized. When I started digging into this deeper, I just got so excited about the potential for all of our listeners if they could really get into the concept and discover their strengths. So if we think about it, greater job satisfaction, greater engagement, greater productivity, less likely to experience stress and anxiety while working. These are all things that we have the privilege of being able to enjoy if we'll just focus on our strengths instead of our weaknesses and find a job that allows us to focus on our strengths. So the question is, what's our strength? So Marissa, how do you think people could find their strengths? This is one of those questions I never told you I was going to ask.
I think you can, probably the quickest and easiest way might be to just ask the people that know you best, which we've talked about before.
Yes.
And
closest friend assessments.
I think, you know, you mentioned that you did a quick assessment last night, and I took a peek at your results, and I thought those were pretty accurate. So I think that might be a great thing to do as well.
Yeah. So the Strength Finders assessment, I guess it's technically called the Clifton Strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Gallup. So Marcus Buckingham worked for Gallup when he co-created the Strengths Finders assessment. And so I just did a quick Google search. Remember, you can find anything you want online, and this one's not free. This one was one I paid for. I think it was like $49 plus tax or something. Mm-hmm. $53 with tax.
Yep.
But it's a 34-page report. It was 170 questions. Not quite 34 pages. But it was 170 questions. It looks at 34 characteristics of a human being, and it gives you your top five, and then tells you, you know, it prioritizes them from first to last.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting is that I've kind of lived this awareness without having it as an awareness, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I started this job that I have now, my family would say, "Are you going to work every night?" I said, "I'm not working." And they'd say, "Yes, you are." "Oh, I guess I am." Because I would sit down with my laptop and I'd be working on content. I'd be writing something. It's not work. Because I love what I do. And all of us could do that. So you touched on the one, friends, and we touched on the assessment. Anything else you can think of that could help us identify our strengths?
I think you can compare those two things with what you think you're good at, what feels easy to you, maybe what others mention, you know, like what others ask you for help with. You know, if someone's always asking you for help with something, that might be a strength area for you.
Absolutely.
But I think having like a comprehensive, maybe looking at least two of those things just to see how they compare to each other would be useful.
Yeah. I did a little bit of some searching on this. And, you know, one of the assessments or one of the ways that I saw when I was doing some quick Google searches would take 10 people that know you best and ask them what they think is your gifted area or your strength area.
Wow. 10.
That certainly would work. 10. Yeah. That's better than my closest friend assessment, which was 2.
Yeah.
You can do a Strength Finders. And if think about this. So people say, "Oh my goodness, $50, that's a lot of money." Really? How much money are you going to spend when you go out to eat in the weekend? Mm-hmm. You know, what if that tool could help you end the Sunday evening flu? That's not an expense. That's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing investment. So, and also you're going to be more productive. So you're going to get promoted more readily because you're doing things you're very, very good at. You're doing things that you enjoy doing. Your people that are working in their strengths call in sick less. Less, of course, they're me, which with colds that never go away. No, that's not true. I don't call in sick. But you're going to be so energized. And there's another assessment that you can use. So if you do the Maxwell Disc Assessment, which is something I use in a lot of my classes, there is something known as the Power Disc. And that's one of the things I love about the Maxwell Disc Assessment as opposed to some of the other ones that we've used in the past. But it gives us an indication of where we are related to influencing, directing, processing, detailing, creating, persisting, and relating. So again, it's telling us what our giftedness is. It's telling us where our strengths are. And the joy is being able to work in your strengths. So the next step that I think we need to think about is those of us that are leaders is, or even parents, how does that translate to, let's say, our kids and our teams? To me, that's huge. You know, are we letting our kids, are we giving them space, as Marcus Buckingham would say, to be who they are and love them for who they are and encourage the uniqueness that's in each one of them as opposed to fixing them, so to speak, to meet the standard that we believe is important. You know, in Marcus's latest book, which I don't remember the title, it might be like The 9 Lies We Believe as Truths or something like that. It's a Harvard Business Review book. But one of them was that the well-balanced and people are the happiest. That's not true. There is no such thing as a truly well-balanced person. We're all unique. So it's best for us to really explore and work in our uniqueness, so to speak. But then I started thinking about, okay, so what about my employees? What about, you know, when I had a company full of employees, was I focusing on leveraging their strengths? And I wasn't. So think about what we do. We create a position, a job description, and we fit somebody in the job description. When maybe we should tailor the job description for the person. What are your thoughts about that? Could we really tailor job descriptions for people? Now I'm asking you something that you've never worked in, but...
Well, I've never worked in, but I have seen it in practice.
Okay, good. Share that with me.
That's how my position came to be. When I started at MACNE over 5 years ago, I was in a very different role. That kind of morphed and changed as I was able to display my skill sets and my strengths and define the need within MACNE for certain things. My position was molded in that way.
Okay.
So while I wasn't the one necessarily executing that, I was right in the middle of it. It was really great for me because it allowed me to play to my strengths and work in my strength zone and really enjoy what I was doing. So I'm very lucky in that sense.
So talk to us about what types of things were put into the job description that you think fit to your strengths?
A lot of the communications things that I do now have developed over time, because when my position was created, we had to kind of fill the gap of the things that I wasn't doing anymore. But it allowed us to really elevate our communications efforts and do things like create a new website, manage that on the inside instead of always having to go externally and have someone manage it for us. Mm-hmm. We were able to build a communications and marketing team, whereas before it kind of was a part of one person's position, and then a few other people kind of chipped in where they could, but it helped define a better group. It's been a long time now, so I can't really remember all the details.
How did that change how you, like, think about when that was unfolding? How did your mindset change when you were getting ready to go to work in the morning?
I think it really changed how I felt about a job versus a career.
Right.
Because I was really doing the things that I was excited about. I knew that, like, the things I was doing were, like, they were really adding value to the organization, which is important to me. And I got to express who I am and some of my creativity instead of doing the things that I was doing before, which were fine, but they weren't necessarily things that I was excited about. I could be more innovative, which is something that I like to do.
Right. So you were, they were fine. Like, I don't think, I never got the sense that you didn't want to come to work.
No.
But all of a sudden, when you now can work on the things that excite you, you're going to do better work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel energized, and you won't be the one looking at it's only 4:45. Oh, my goodness. You know, they're the people that are in such a hurry to leave work that they back into their parking place so they can head straight out as soon as that clock hits 5. Boom, they're out the door.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen if somebody is really focused on something that they love. Mm-hmm. So the book, and I did find the title, The 9 Lies About Work. And that was the book that Marcus wrote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of them are things that, like, we think we know, but we don't. Just get the people, let the people work in their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And they will produce, like you were saying, that you'll get that breath of fresh air about being at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it, so when, if you think back, did somebody think of crafting your job description first, or was it something you brought up?
Oh man, I don't know. I think there was like conversation back and forth. If I'm remembering correctly, Karen Burns, who was our VP of Government Relations and Communications back then, she kind of pulled me aside and said, you know, I really like working with you. Here are things that I think you're good at. How would you feel about, you know, like proposing these ideas?
Okay.
And so I guess, you know, in a way she kind of helped me realize those strengths and
good.
Move forward in that way. And I think through some different discussion, I remember her giving me the advice to, she's like, you should kind of like just write up a sample job description of what you could be doing and how it would impact the organization, and like really have these ideas organized. And that's what I did. And she helped me. And that's, I think, how things morphed.
Perfect. I love that. Cause mm-hmm. you, excuse me, I'm losing my voice already. You came up with a tool. So what I love about this is I think this gives our listeners a lot of hope. So it wasn't necessarily our CEO that said, hey, I have this vision.
Right.
Or our CEO that said, hey, we want to get the best out of Marissa, so we're going to let her work on her strengths. I'm not saying that they were against it by any means, because clearly they let you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But a coworker said, I think you're really good at this, and I like working with you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the power in what she did. She, you know, investing in you, saying, I like working with you, so why don't you write up what this might look like, and we'll present it.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. That, yeah. You know, in John Maxwell's 360-degree leader, that would be something he would write about, like leading your boss.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like an overnight change.
No.
It was something that we like slowly, you know, I think it morphed into me spending more time working with Karen and then taking mm-hmm. on certain projects that were, you know, in that communications area.
Sure.
And over time, and I think we made the official shift when maybe I came back from my first maternity leave. I can't remember now, but you know, it was like a gradual shift.
And sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been really great, and it's been good for me. I think it's been good for Macne. And it's allowed me to do things like, you know, like this podcast.
Right.
And I mean, we've shared this before, like you and I, we do this, it's 6 p.m. right now. So it's after yeah. work hours. And I think if we weren't excited about this, we wouldn't be finding time in the evenings
right.
or
right.
on weekends
right.
to do it.
Exactly. You know, and so think about for our listeners, especially those that have direct reports, wouldn't you love to have your people saying, hey, I really love this so much. We're going to make this work mm-hmm. whatever time it is. I mean, you and I, we've done it at, what's the earliest in the day we've done it? Did we do it at 7?
7. Mm-hmm.
Which is fine for me because I get up really, really early.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've done it as early as 7 in the morning. And I don't know how late we've done it at night.
I think 8 or 8:30.
Right. So,
weekends,
you know, and we've,
Saturdays.
Weekends. We've done it when I've been on vacation.
Mm-hmm. And when I've been on vacation.
And when you've been on vacation. Mm-hmm. We didn't do it when you were on maternity leave because we didn't want to break the law.
Right.
So we kind of recorded like 9 weeks or something ahead.
And then arranged for interviews.
And then arranged for yeah. interviews. Yeah. But imagine having your team excited about doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen for each one of us that has direct reports if we can get them excited about what they do. Excuse me. And the way we do that is let them work in their strength.
Mm-hmm. And I think like finding, this might seem, you okay over there?
I'm making it. I keep drinking this water. We might have a shorter podcast. We'll
I think, you know, it's not, I'm sure there are people listening who are saying like, no way, this will never happen for me. And I think it's important to note that it's not always like rainbows and butterflies.
Yes.
You know, it's, there are always going to be things that are stressful, but there's ways too to like accept where you are now and find the things that you are excited about. So maybe you feel like you're excited about 50% of the things you're doing now. Like, how can you bring that to 60%? And then how can you bring that to 70%? And maybe when it comes to the Sunday scaries or the Sunday evening flu, having those things that you look forward to doing, maybe scheduling them for Monday so that can ease into your week. I know we've talked about, you know, eating our frogs first thing in the morning, but maybe save that for Tuesday morning.
That's
and,
fine. Yeah.
And Monday morning, like easing into your week with the things that you're good at, or structuring your week in a way. Like, for example, I knew today was going to be a lot of things for like a lot of today was busy for me, and it wasn't necessarily the way I would have liked to spend my day, but I'm doing it today. But tomorrow I have a more, I guess, enjoyable workload. So structuring our weeks so that it doesn't feel like drudgery. Because there will be difficult things. There will be difficult meetings, challenging tasks, tight deadlines. But if you can find a way to just keep increasing the amount of things you're doing that are in your strength zones and being excited, and then I think you feel more successful that way too.
You do. You do. Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you approach that. Like, okay, it's almost like if I'm at 50%, how can I get to 60? Mm-hmm. How could I negotiate with my boss to take on things that are more in line with my strength zones? You know, and you'll be that. I'm hoping that they will be able to begin to recognize that. Chances are it's going to be a coworker or an immediate supervisor that's a little bit closer to you that might sense it. Volunteer for things that might be in your strength zone that allow you to showcase your abilities.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if you're a person that's really great, let's say with artistic expression kind of thing, you know, maybe you help out marketing or something, or maybe if you're really great in networking, you say, listen, I'd like to work on the company Christmas party type of thing. Whatever it might be, whatever sparks joy in your work life is very probably going to be your strength zone. And if something, if something is really hard and it feels painful to do, it just might not be your strength. Now, there is one thing that I will say. There may be a task that is not your strength yet, but you're developing it. So don't, you know, I remember when I was listening to John Maxwell talk about his first book, he said it was painful. And he said, but I wanted to develop the skill. So I did. He said it took me a year to write my first book, and it was really, really short, and the chapters had 3 pages, but he said, I did it. And he said, now I love it. I can't wait to do it. It's something every day that I need to do just for fulfillment. So don't be discouraged if there's something that you like that you're not good at yet. It could just be you're developing a skill. And maybe your giftedness using the writing thing, maybe the giftedness isn't in the writing part, but it's in the content part right now. And over time, you will develop the skill to do the writing piece. You know, or maybe you're really, really great at developing content, but you're not good at presenting it yet. That could be something that you're going to develop the more you're around it. So I don't want people to think that, like you said, it's always, you know, butterflies and rainbows where everything is perfect. No, it's still work. So then there was this great question somebody asked Marcus Buckingham. So, you know, what about something that you really enjoy doing, but you're not good at? And he goes, that's called a hobby. And I thought, what a great point. There are things that we love, but we're not necessarily good at. He said, that's where you can use your hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, skills that you might want to develop that aren't necessarily work related, that can be used for our hobbies, which also sparks joy in our life. So I think kind of to wrap it up, I really would hope that from the leader's perspective, the takeaway would be, how do I get my people in their strength zones? You know, one of the examples, and I think it was Chris Hogan at Live to Lead said, you know, bosses deal with their people like they play checkers. Every piece moves the same. Leaders deal with their people like they play chess. The pieces move differently mm-hmm. and have different purposes. And let's think about our teams that way. Let's think about how do we get the best out of our team? Imagine if 80% of your workforce couldn't wait to get to work on Monday morning. That would be a high-functioning organization. And they wouldn't be waiting till 5 p.m., the stroke of five, so to speak, to leave. And then for you as an individual, find a way, like you said, find those things that you could build into your life, your work life, that you really love and focus on. Maybe I was thinking too, as you mentioned that, maybe journaling, you know, on a Sunday when the Sunday flu or the Sunday, what did you call it?
Sunday scary
start. What is it that I'm afraid of? What is it that has me wound up? Write that down. And then also write down, what am I excited about tomorrow? Because one of the reasons why we get the Sunday scaries or the Sunday flu is we don't feel empowered. And when we don't feel empowered, we don't want to go to work. And when we're working in our strength zone, we really are feeling empowered. We're feeling like we're making a difference and what we do matters. And that should be everybody's goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to stop. I don't think I can talk anymore.
Can I ask you one more question?
Absolutely.
What are we talking about next week?
So you had mentioned this to me a while back that we should talk about is it Enneagram?
Enneagram, yes.
So since I did the Strength Finders and I was really pleased with that, I'm going to do the Enneagram assessment and we can talk about it next week.
Yeah, we can share our results and I'll brush up on, I haven't read too much about it lately, but there was a span of time where I was pretty into it. So I will brush up there.
So that is what we're going to talk about. And I think we probably surprised people that we didn't talk about Thanksgiving today. But mm-hmm. I've written about it almost every year since I've been at MacNe. It was on the newsletter for November, I think. Mm-hmm. But we do want to wish everyone a wonderful Thanksgiving and just take the time to reflect on how blessed you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a new grandson.
Yes, you do.
Luke William was born on Saturday evening, so that makes number 9 in my family. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Got enough for a baseball team now. Of course, I should tell my kids we do need some subs to come into the game. You know, I don't have a really big pitching roster yet if I only got 9 players. But so did you finish up the autumn or the fall?
Our fall bucket list?
Bucket list?
Sure did. The only thing left is our, you know, Thanksgiving celebration, yep. which will happen right. inevitably tomorrow. And that's it. So I did photograph everything and
perfect.
We'll be putting my book together and we are already working on our winter list. So it has been good. So great. We've just loved it.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting when we talked about the bucket list. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. I said that one of the things I always loved to do was watch A Christmas Carol, but my family we never got around to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and her family are coming for Thanksgiving, and she already said, Dad, I think it's a Friday after Thanksgiving, we're watching A Christmas Carol together. Mm-hmm. So got it on my bucket list.
Good.
Check it off.
That's awesome.
All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
This was The Next Page.